KQAQ.com.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Evelina Maikako, greetings to all our listeners near and far, and welcome once again to the Living Sovereign Show with me, your host, Puanani Rogers, and pinch hitting for Leilani at the board this evening is a good friend and one whom I highly respect, a community activist, Miss Felicia Cowden. Aloha, Felicia. Welcome to the evening program.
Aloha. I am always so happy to be on your fine show.
Thank you so much. Wasn't that a great concert last night? I meant to ask.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Nako and Medicine for the People. Just almost like a giant prayer in there, you know? Mm-hmm. So many people standing and singing throughout the whole thing. And
yes. Mahalo ke akua. Yeah.
Songs for the Revolution is what I was thinking it was, you
and
know?
That place was packed.
Packed. And everybody was singing about love and hope and gratitude.
Yes, and wow, such energy on that stage, man. We got everybody up and dancing.
That's right. So thank you to KKCR's Dove.
Dove, we love you. So many good shows. Do it again. All right, and we're sending aloha and prayers to any of our listeners and to anyone that is dealing with health issues or any kind of pilikia. May Keakua's blessings be with you. Also sending a special aloha to our global listeners joining us on our website at www.kkcr.org. Mahalo for tuning in. Today we're going to want to share some important meeting notices for this month, happening this month. One of them is regarding a lecture by Dr. Kavika Winter of Limahuli Gardens, my false teeth. Another is about an important meeting with CARUM, our Commission on Water Resource Management. And then if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about some of the important legislative bills being circulated at the legislature. I will also be discussing the controversial issue of the Ahamoku Legislative Mandate Act 288, to clarify some misconceptions that have been circulating around the community about the Ahamoku. If you've got your pencils ready, I will give you the website where you can go and check more information on the Ahamoku, but I will be talking about that more later. This is the address for the website, http://dlnr.hawaii.gov/ahamoku, all small letters, by the way, /about/. I'll say it one more time for this website on the Ahamoku. http://dlnr.hawaii.gov/ahamoku/about/.
And I got it up in front of me right now in case you need any info on it.
Okay, maika e mahalo. We're going to be expecting a phone call from Kavika to talk some more about his lecture coming up. And, you know, the Ahamoku has everything to do with the Ahupua'a, and that's why this lecture is going to be so important.
Would you like to clarify for the listener the difference between Ahamoku and Ahupua'a? Because they're similar, but they're not the same. So people get confused.
All right. Ahupua'a, definition. Ahupua'a is a geographic division of land on each island. Every island has Ahupua'as.
They're kind of pie-shaped, right? They're like
almost from mountain to the ocean.
Almost like the from the ridgeline to the ridgeline. Loosely, it's the valley watersheds.
Natural boundaries.
Like Hanalei would be an I mean, Ahupua'a, but there's four Ahupua'as within the bay. Yeah,
yeah, it's in the Moku, or district of Halele'a.
So a Moku has a number of Ahupua'as. So my understanding is there's six Moku on this island, and that actually the furthest one, the Mana Moku, actually contains Ni'ihau as well.
Also including Ni'ihau, that's right. So if you can picture it, our island is divided into five moku, or districts, six, the added one. And within the moku are the different ahupua'as.
That's right. And that's the land management system that had everything you needed to come within your own valley,
that's
your own
right.
ahupua'a. So that was one of the absolute strengths of the Hawaiian their land management system.
Yes.
And you can take water out of your ahumoku. And I get those words, the ahupua'a. I'm sorry, using both words.
I'll get to ahumoku later, but we're talking ahupua'a right now. Yes.
So you can't take your water out.
No.
And that's the
most important thing about the ahupua'a is, where does your water come from? And that is a huge subject right now with all our ahupua'a councils, because we do have problems with our water. I hope that sometime throughout this year, we may be able to do some actions to make some corrections on some of the water problems that we have here. And later on, I'll tell you about our meetings and invite you so you can come and share your mana'o on our water. So that's the ahupua'a, from mountain to sea. However, there are some ahupua'a on Kauai that do not go all the way up to the mountains, but they still get their water from Waialeale. Okay, and now Ahamoku is a system adopted by this came out of, I believe, Maui Island, and this was to organize, they wrote a resolution called the Ahamoku to organize people that have traditional, customary, generational knowledge of how to do ahupua'a resource management.
So is it correct to say that the Department of DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources from the state, is making an effort towards co-stewardship? So instead of it all being a modern way, it's looking to the kupuna, or the respected elders of each community, and allowing them to share their mana'o, to share what they know,
right,
and to help guide a more sustainable land management system that is a reflection, or coming closer to a reflection, of what worked for more than a millennium in history.
But in my experience working with the ahupua'a, that's fine and good, that's all down on paper, but does it really happen? Not necessarily. Because this has been since 2012, 3 years ago, that on July 9th, a legislative bill entitled Relating to Native Hawaiians was signed by Governor Neil Abercrombie, and it was labeled Act 288. So out of this act, which by the way, many of us, you included, have already been doing this kind of work in the community. So it was like, that's easy. We're doing it already anyway. A lot of us have been Aina warriors and water warriors, and we have been monitoring and closely watching all that has been happening within our ahupua'a, because, you know, we can't ignore it. It's happening right there in on our lands, in our ahupua'a, right in front of our faces. So, cannot be ignored. And since 2012, it was supposed to be, okay, let me read this again. And this act is I saw it as a tool that will give us more power to do the work that we've already been doing, because of recognition by the state now, which means first, that we will be in control to write our own land management plans for our na'ahupua'a, and hope that there will be no resistance from them. Because it's an act.
That's right. And so, like, a lot of times things are legislated and the true intention behind the law, either they don't know how to do it or it does not happen. There's a lot of places where it doesn't quite go, but at least it's a start. It's a gesture of a start. And so there has been activity this whole season in each of the mokus on the island.
Yeah. And like I said, it's all good on paper. But to see it actually implemented is a whole nother story. And that's why that gives us, the people in the Ahupua'a, the power now to be able to do our own land management plans and to take the initiatives that is we already have, but is, again, given to us to do the work our way, not their way. Okay, and also... supposedly meaning this act also meant that we were supposed to be receiving some funding to do the work. But since 2012, no funding has occurred. Like I said, it's on paper, and that's about it. In fact, I found that there was a bill going through the legislature right now asking for funds. So we see how that goes. It's an
yes, and I wrote some testimony in support of it. Now, Leimana is a staff member, so there must be some funding in order for it to be happening.
I think Oha was helping her out for a while.
Oh, okay.
So she got some funding from then. By the way, Leimana Damati is the executive director of the Ahamoku system, and... And her office is in the Department of Land and Natural Resources because this system is under them.
And Tommy Hashimoto is the po'o for the island, correct?
For the island, yes. And we have different po'os for the different mokus on our island.
And po'o means leader.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, so in Halale'a Moku, there is the Ahupua'as of Limahuli, Haena, Wainiha, Lumahai, Waikoko, Waipa, Puapo, Kalihikai, and Kalihivai. And the po'o for the Hanale Moku is... Who is it? I guess it's Uncle Tom Hashimoto. Now, Nepali Moku... That's the second one, is Ahupua'a of Hanakapi'ai, Hanakoa, Pohaku'au, Kalalau, Honopu, Ava'avapuhi, Nualolo, Nualolokai, Miloli'i, Makaha, Kauhau, Ka'aveiki, Hikimoe, Ha'ele'ele, and Kauwila. Mana'amoku is Ahupua'a of Kolo, Kahelu Nui, Nono Mahiki, Ka'avaloa, Opelu, and Vai'ava. Kani Teraldo of Waimea is the moku representative for that moku, Mana Moku. And Kona Moku, which is the area of our south, is, oh no, it's not. Kona Moku, Ahupua'a of Waimea, Makavele, Kupua, Hanapepe, Wahiawa, Kalaheo, Lawai, Aepo, Koloa, Veliveli, Pa'a, and Maha'ulepu. And I want you to think, as I read you these names of these Ahupua'a, to find out when I call your Ahupua'a to remember. And I would behoove you to also, whenever you do testify or go to a meeting to speak, it would be good if you would identify yourself as who you are and what Ahupua'a you come from, because that's your land genealogy.
And Auntie, even if people haven't always lived here, they still belong in an Ahamoku.
As long as they are living on any of our aina, they have the kuleana then to protect Malama and care for that aina. So yes, they're included.
So they have that responsibility, and maybe perhaps a good element of this is it's an area in which to educate people who maybe might not know how to handle the water resources in a way, or don't have that generational history of understanding what the challenge is.
Right. But if you don't, you can always come to the meetings and learn along with us. But the criteria for being on an Ahumoku or an Ahupua'a council is that you should have some knowledge of our cultural practices, traditional customary practices.
To be putting out what should happen, but maybe you could come and learn.
Yes, exactly. And you know why I say that? Because we need everybody's support. The more people we have, the stronger our voices. And there is no racial discrimination here. If we have kupuna that are Filipino or Japanese or Chinese, but they have cultural knowledge because they've lived here long enough, we welcome them. In fact, I am making a kaheya and calling out to a lot of our kupuna that have the experience and the living years here on our aina. They definitely have some great ideas on how they have taken care of their aina. So we kahea to them, our kupuna, to come and visit us. And I'll announce our meeting schedule later on. If you live in the Punamoku, then you live in either the Ahopua'as of Kipukai, Haiku, Niumalu, Navilivili, Kalapaki, Hanama'ulu, Wailua, Olohena, Waipoli, Kapa'a, Kealia, and Kamalamalo'o. Whew, that's a lot. But if you hear the name of your town in there, then you know which moku you are and the name of your Ahupua'a. Then we have one more moku, the Ko'olau moku, that includes Anahola, Aliomanu, Papa'a, Molowa'a, Ka'aka'aniu, this was spelled wrong. Lepe'ule.
Lepe'ule. Lepe'ule. Also known as, Larson's area. Lepe'ule is that.
Waipake, Pila'a, Waiakalua, Kahili, and hey, your hometown, Kilauea, and Namahana. Okay, so now, do you know who you are? Do you know where you come from? What's the name of your Ahupua'a? Mine is the Ahupua'a of Kealia in the moku of Puna on the island or mokupuni of Kauai. So, say that every chance you get. Let these people know that you are talking to them. Do you know who you are and where you come from?
Yay. Yay.
Okay, so now given that background information, I want to tell you about our Ahupua'a Council of Punamoku, which is newly formed, by the way. We've only had 3 meetings. And at the last meeting, because nobody else wanted to be po'o, I volunteered to be the po'o of our Ahupua'a Council and pro tempore. And I want to get this thing going.
What does pro tempore mean?
Temporarily.
Temporarily. Okay.
Until someone else will step up and do the work. But I have a lot of help. I have about 9 or 10 members now. And in my efforts to broaden our membership, I did attend a Kapa'a Wailua Neighborhood Association meeting this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And asked them if they would like to join forces with us because they're doing the same thing that we're doing. And our contribution would definitely be to advise or give them information on any of our cultural stuff that they might come across in all of their issues that they're working on.
Yeah, and the cross-pollination between organizations is really good. There was State Historic Preservation Division.
Mm-hmm.
The new archaeologist from that was there speaking and
Right. Brought
out a lot of information that maybe later in the show we can bring up. There's
Right. A
handful of events coming up, so lots of ways
Okay. To
help each other.
Alrighty. So that's it for what the Ahumoku is. Did I leave anything out?
Well, I think you were pretty clear. I think that people ought to, you know, they can know that there are ways that the state is really embracing our historic cultural ways of managing the land. And the more that all of us can foster that, the better every element of our island will be. What is good for the Kanaka Maoli is good for all of us, because what's good for Kanaka Maoli is good for the land. When we live on healthy land, we have a healthy community.
Absolutely. And this isn't just a Kauai thing or Hawaii thing, because if you're keeping a pulse on what is happening globally, you will find that there are many issues in different countries on people fighting for indigenous cultural knowledge to be a part of all the decision making. They're fighting for it, and I'm happy that we're in the same boat and support all of that too.
We're probably at least a century behind where we should have really been starting to embrace it, but better late than never. You know, like across the world, you know, we're seeing still indigenous people in any zone.
Mm-hmm. And
you know,
isn't it sad that it is mostly indigenous people that are getting inundated by foreign mana'o?
Well, I'm going to argue that we're all indigenous. We're all indigenous to somewhere. And
that's right.
Some people have been...
Do identify what, though?
We can be occupied for a longer time, right? So.
Uh-huh. Okay. So there are different things that the Ahamoku Advisory Committee... Okay, so Act 288 was to form an Ahamoku Advisory Committee. That was it, just to form this committee. And then giving them the tasks of seven different tasks. One was to integrating indigenous resource management practices with Western management practices as well, trying to retrofit.
Right.
Okay.
And we do have Kaviko on the phone.
Oh, my Kaviloa.
Yeah, so let's pull him on.
All right. Aloha, Kavika.
Aloha, Auntie Nani. How are you doing?
Oh, Maika Iloa. And you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, mahalo so much for accepting my invitation to come on the air to share your mana'o and your lecture coming up.
Oh, and mahalo for having me, yes.
Yes, and that's happening this Thursday, yeah?
Correct.
Okay. I'll announce it again before the end of the show, but could you go ahead and tell our people what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, well, a lot of us have been involved in research regarding Ahupua'a on some deeper levels, such as how they were actually logistically implemented and laid out and things like that. So I'm going to be giving a lecture, sharing, kind of updating people on the latest research regarding Ahupua'a, you know, our ancient resource management system.
Mm-hmm.
And including some of the research we've been doing out at Limahuli in Haena, and just updating people on where the current research is pointing. And it's really interesting because the more we learn about it, the more we find out some of the assumptions that we've always had about how Ahupua'a actually worked aren't really so correct or accurate. So it'll be a great opportunity to learn and share and get some more ideas.
Can you give us a teaser? Like, what's one of these things that maybe we haven't had correct in the past?
Oh, my goodness, where to start? It's actually almost everything we've thought about Ahupua'a. We're learning that some Ahupua'a functioned like the way we all think, but the reality of how they were implemented across the Paiaina in the kingdom period and before was quite different. So,
mm-hmm.
Almost any assumption you had is probably right in some cases, but not in all. And so we'll be talking about some of those examples.
All right. We were just talking about what an Ahupua'a is and everything, so that was a good segue into your lecture. And I noticed that the topic is Ahupua'a, past, present, and future.
Yeah, so, I think a lot of us are talking about how Ahupua'a, you know, it was such a great working model in the ancient days for
it's the best
sustainable living. And we, a lot of us believe that it's a good model in the 21st century. And there's a few communities around the Paiaina who are using this as a model. Haena is one, Waipa is another on this island. and on the other islands there are other examples. So we'll be taking the opportunity to share a little bit of our work in Haena as well.
So this is going to be at Kauai Community College in the cafeteria?
No.
Where's your
community center? That's to the left and behind the Performance Arts Center.
Correct. I think it might double as a cafeteria during the day. I'm not so sure about that, but it is that is the correct location.
And it starts promptly at 5:30 p.m.
Promptly, according to Hawaiian time, at 5:30, yes.
Okay, I got a question then.
Yes.
Give me an example of future. Future of our Ahupua, if you know, how do you foresee? I know what I would like to foresee, but go ahead.
Well, I think that every Ahupua has to ask that for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I can really only speak to Haena because that's where we're doing our work, and ultimately we're going to share what we're doing and how we're approaching this, and hopefully we do so in such a way that it makes people kind of start to think about that on that level if they aren't already, or if they are, maybe help them further their thoughts along that road.
Okay, now have you heard about the Ahamoku system then, and about how there's an act, a mandate by the legislature for each moku to have Ahupua'a councils?
I am aware that's going on. I haven't been following it in too much detail at the moment, though.
Okay, because I was wondering, in your moku, there should be an Ahupua'a council already established, but we'll see. I'm not sure.
I believe there is, actually. I mean, there's definitely an Ahamoku one, whether, Kavika, are you going to be speaking about the fisheries management too, the co-stewardship? Is that part of
I am going to be touching on that a bit. I'm going to be focusing. The presentation is going to be broken up into two sections. One is talking about what Ahupua'a were in a holistic sense, and kind of talking about the assumptions we've had, and talking about how maybe some of those weren't entirely correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other portion of it is really looking at how the Ahupua'a system can inform forest resource management, because when you're talking Ahupua'a restoration, it's really kind of straightforward. If you're looking at a taro patch, it means restore the taro patch. Or if you're looking at a fish pond. But what does that mean when you're looking at the entire inland forest resources of our island? How can the Ahupua'a system inform our conservation actions and our management directions in regards to all the forested areas of the island?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of the things I'll be sharing with you about, because a lot of people talk about fish ponds and taro patches, but not too many talk about forest management in this under this system and under this model. So that's what we'll be exploring a little bit.
One thing that will be interesting for us to grapple with is the awais and the water, the irrigation system. Some of them definitely, you know, cross different Ahupua'a, but what I've been seeing, because I've been looking, and a lot of them are actually collapsing all over the place. They're collapsing. So sometimes people are thinking water's being stolen, but I think what's happening is the ditches are collapsing in areas, especially where it's kind of going
through
a tunnel.
And so there's no water in the stream anymore downstream? It's right.
Yeah, there's all kind of factors, less rainfall, less water in the stream, and kind of people not...
Are you taking any actions about water systems, too, then? Because that is number one on our priority list for our Ahupua'a councils. You have... Limahuli Stream is your source, yeah?
Correct.
Yeah. And all clean, no pollution.
We like to think it's one of the cleaner streams in the island, if not the state. It's been classified as such by the stream ecologists.
Okay.
I want to say you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. It is 5:30. This is Living Sovereign with Auntie Nani Rogers. And we're so graced to have Kavika Winters from Limahuli on the phone with us. So continue.
Yeah, And I probably got to cut out here in a little bit, but I do want to say, to address your question, that we do need to take care of our waters, and we all know both from a cultural standpoint and a scientific one, it's such an important resource. And at Limahuli, we view our major kuleana to our community is making sure the waters flowing out of our valley remain clean, and which is why we put so much energy into taking care of the forest in our valley and things like that. So those are the kind of things that we'll be sharing about in our lecture on Thursday, I believe, and I look forward to seeing some of you there.
Yes, Kavika. I got one more question.
Sure.
Are there other streams in your area there that are having any problems?
Well, the only other perennial stream in Haena is Manoa Stream. I've only been around 10 years, but even I can see that there seems to be less water in there now. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with how the forest is or isn't holding on to the water, the rainfall that does come, and how much it contributes to actually recharging the aquifer versus just running off and flowing out of the system really quickly without being incorporated into it for more long-term use.
All right. Has there anybody thinking about doing a study on Manoa Stream?
I don't have any kuleana over that land, but the hydrology is something that we're looking into at Limahuli, where we actually have some research going on right now with some ecologists at the University of Hawaii, trying to determine what kind of plant community is the best at retaining the topsoil and recharging the aquifer and things like that.
Who is your hydrologist?
We don't have one specifically, but our research team at there's a whole bunch of people over there that are helping us tackle this question.
Okay, that's great. I would love to get some hydrologists.
Could it be Kapua Sprout or Adam Asquith? Because they did wonderful workshops on water here a couple months ago. I would check with them
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Kai. Okay, any other questions, Felicia?
Well,
I'm good.
Okay, thank you so much, Kavika.
Okay, thank you. I'll see you guys later. Okay.
Yes, I'll see you Thursday. Ahui ho.
Ahui ho.
Aloha.
There's the hydrologist, Matt, would be a good person to get and talk to. Like, it's important. There's a difference between being a lawyer that's helping with the water issues and being a hydrologist who's actually hiking up in those valleys. And I went to a presentation where they were talking about the cloud layer and where it hits the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it's supposedly rising up higher, and so it's hitting the mountain higher up. And so that's one, at least that was what was presented. This is the reason why we're having less rainfall. Because it's hitting higher up.
Well, what happened to the forests up there? As long as there's rainforest or, you know, kanahele, trees, that's the water collectors.
That's the water collectors. We need that, but this is a global issue where the surface temperature is a little bit higher. I think that, like, when we're looking at past, present, and future, and we've got even more information to be looking at, there's the Arctic cap is melting, so the macro wind cycles are moving up a little bit, too. So we're hitting a little bit less of the wind. We're not getting as much wind, and the clouds are higher, so our water is going down. Now, I'm not
sure
a meteorologist.
It's affecting Kauai.
Oh, it is.
It is?
Yes, but we that's the kind of thing that we need to be looking at. Sometimes when we're looking at our water issues, we have to think about how we are diverting it or moving it around and how we're going to be managing it on the ground, but we also need to be looking at what's falling down in the first place and if we need to make some changes if we're getting less water.
I would like to say that if there's any of you out there listening that would like to comment or share Manao, you're very welcome to do so. Our number here is 826-7771. And we also have a toll-free number.
Yes, we have a toll-free number, which is 866-275-1112. And right now we are graced with people listening from around the country. And mostly are around the world at the moment is Canada and Japan. I really love that we can see this here.
Oh, konnichiwa to all our Japan listeners. Aloha, domo arigato. Okay, I need to announce this because it's happening right now, tonight. And that is this HAPA meeting. HAPA stands for Hawaii Alliance of Progressive Action, founded by our County Council member Gary Hoosier, who will be hosting the meeting tonight at 6 p.m. at Lihue Neighborhood Center. Now, you still have time to go?
Yep, 25 more minutes.
25 more minutes, but please do go. It's going to be really fun. I hear that there'll be free food and free T-shirts for the first 30 arrivals. Two of the special speakers are Paul Achitoff,
wow,
justice attorney, to speak on legal updates. And also, this is a good one, Alika Atai of Shaka of Maui, and their initiatives to stop the GMO crops. So that meeting is tonight, starts at 6 at the Neighborhood Center. Alrighty.
There's a lot going on tomorrow over on Oahu. I know many people are going to go over there. Do you have a list on that? They've got some...
For Shaka? I mean, for HAPA meetings on Oahu?
There is... There's two bills getting discussed over there.
Oh.
These are the things that are something like the 960. There's a pesticide issue. Mm. And so...
Oh, wow.
Things have
They're
been...
still going...
Well,
it's still going. I'm glad that it's not been deferred or killed.
Well,
it
has been, and so there's a real effort to get the Senate to actually put them on the schedule. You can defer things like what happened in Cliff Tsuji's agriculture subcommittee, but you can also simply never put it on the schedule. So there's an effort to get Roz Baker to be putting things on the schedule.
Oh, could you get that on your computer, that announcement about that? Because they're having a rally, they're going to be holding signs, and then they're going to go into that the hearing. I believe that's for the buffer zones. Also, a hearing on the appointment of Carlton Ching as DLNR.
Carlton Ching, yeah, that's...
Carlton, yeah.
Because he has been... has a long career working in development, which is mm-hmm. almost the opposite of the Kuleana of Department of Land and Natural Resources chair.
Yeah.
Now, he has been at the meetings that I've attended in the legislature. He's already in that, seemingly in that position, even though it's yet to be fully confirmed.
Yeah. Okay. Just some bits of information for you about some legislative updates. Do you know the number of that, is it SB 1514?
That was House Bill 1514, which SB means Senate Bill.
Yeah, okay, this is
and
HB
this is
now.
Senate Bill 1037.
Okay.
Senate Bill, it does not create buffer zones. So it's going before the Ways and Means Committee. This is
okay.
This is simply pesticide disclosure.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Please, folks, if you can, if you have a computer especially, it's so easy. Send in your testimonies. Look for the bill. You have to sign in. No, cannot say that. Oh,
but like if people want to look, if they choose to testify in either direction that they want, if they would like to see it, if they go to
www.capital.hawaii.gov.
And that's capital CAPITOL, and it's okay. A great system that Hawaii
it
has.
It is, yeah.
A great system.
I use it a lot. I've been, I think I sent about 20-something testimonies already this year.
There are a bunch of, like Pesticide Action Network has petitions out that people can sign asking for a buffer zone.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow is being called the Keiki Health Action Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
it's for our keikis.
Yeah. So there, you know, it's, you know, I want to say, so it's really difficult is how expensive it is to really go over there and testify. Now this Senate bill, they're not going to take any verbal testimony. They're only going to look at written testimony. So you wouldn't go over there for that one. This is called decision making only. So they do not hear public testimony, but they will read it. But to go over. Like
which you have done, I'm
three
sure,
times.
Three times, Felicia.
And a lot of times you have to spend the night you know, get because you can't get a flight. The flights are running sometimes $175 one way.
Oh, my.
And so that's a piece that is really discouraging for me because they can financially exhaust
the community. And I know you aren't the only one.
No.
There's about six or seven other people that do that all the time. Such brave, courageous, and very determined people that go for us to represent Kauai. And let me tell you, in those hearings, Kauai is forceful and is very much in the house.
Kauai is very much in the house.
It is. And I'm so proud of you, you warriors, GMO, anti-GMO warriors. I'm so proud of you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I wish you good health and the ability to be able to get over there, because you do help. You do make a difference, and we support you all the way, all the way. Okay, I did want to mention that there's also a statewide Water Commission meeting scheduled for March 19th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Planning Commission Room. This meeting is to seek community input for updating their statewide water resource protection plan.
I will definitely be there.
Me too.
Yeah, that's a big one. And, you know, another big one that we saw is probably on your list there, so you could give us the exact date, is the auction of that 198-acre parcel in...
Oh, right. I didn't put it in this.
Okay.
It was on my
I think that is also March 19th. We're going to have to really be good at getting that out there.
Okay, repeat that again. There will be a land auction
on March 19th
at 1 p.m. Of what, Ina?
And it's going to be at the Marriott Courtyard. And that's going to be
what parcels?
The coconut plantation area right there in between the two existing resorts.
Right.
And so
I know exactly where that is.
So that's that sort of open space land kind of behind where Long's is.
Yeah, not to the left of Long's.
Maybe to the left of Long's.
Right.
But right in
that
general area.
It's in a coconut grove, too,
it's by
the way.
It's in a coconut grove. And so I know there was a Kea out to our, you know, mega
people
wealthy people here.
Pockets.
You know, like, hey, you know, go bid on that. And in fact, the bidding can
get
start
it for
happening
us
now. And it would be great to have that reapplied as a, you know, a park, community park. This is a big wish.
Yeah.
But that one, if that gets developed, we're having Cocoa Palms is up for discussion tomorrow, too.
That's
again,
right. Make the announcement.
At the
Planning Commission.
At the Planning Commission tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. Cocoa Palms. Can I be there? I don't know. I'll be at Hula tomorrow morning. But please, people, Cocoa Palms is up. You know what? I hope you'll speak up about, because there's a lot of problems with it, and mostly it's the infrastructure. So if you can keep pointing to that about the infrastructure and about the burials that are there and about the getting the people across the street to the beach or whatever, please go and please share your mana'o.
And they are actually making an effort.
They are.
Like, you know, I've gone and so as far as it goes on the continuum, they're being pretty conscious. It's an existing building. I'm not saying I support it. But they're looking at a shuttle passageway. They have a lot of different elements. So at least they're making an effort. And they are listening.
Right. But if they're going to listen and follow through is another story.
That's another story. So a big concern that's out there is we have three resorts under, you know, if somebody...
Happening around the same time.
Potentially happening.
So what's going to happen to our traffic?
Right. Plus we have the neighborhood that's being considered both Haku Place there in Kapa'a. I heard there might have been a little bit of shift on that. I don't know. And then there's the other one right down there in Lihue. So we have a number of
developments
that have demand for traffic. So we need to be really responsible and look at that.
Well, the last I heard about Hokua Place, which is that development behind the middle school.
Yes.
A whole bunch of acres there. is that they're running into problems with infrastructure. So it might, it's precarious right now about how far it's going or what they're going to do about it. But getting back to that land auction, I just wanted to give some background information. When this came up, when this development, it was Coconut Plantation and Coconut Village, both of them came up to the planning department at the same time. Two huge hotel developments. And knowing that there are burials and on those properties, we took them to court to try to intervene. And I went as the person to represent the cultural Mana'o on that case, and it was no help. I didn't win. They went ahead and did it anyway. They had the county attorney also testifying against me and pro the development. So, see, you know what? Now I'm thinking, hey, my kia'kua must have been listening, because now those guys ran out of money and they're trying to sell the land now. So let's maka'ala and see who's going to be buying that land, and we're going to make friends with him and make sure he understands all our cultural concerns for that area. And we do have a caller.
Yeah.
Oh, maika'i.
Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay, great. My biggest one of my biggest concerns with all this new building and bringing
development, yeah,
and developing,
uh-huh,
is recently it's been extremely difficult to get two of my aunties into the hospital because it is not big enough. And are we thinking of, okay, you're bringing all these construction people over, you're bringing all of these new people building homes, but we don't have the medical facility to take care. I mean, I hate to think negatively, but, you know, crap happens, you know, and we don't have a medical facility big enough to accommodate what they're trying to construct.
So, caller, you're bringing up a really important issue that has been as yet unfamiliar to me. When
me
you
too.
brought your aunties in to Wilcox Hospital, you were unable to have them received?
Well, they were able to be checked, but they weren't able to be admitted because there were no beds available. There's not.
Really?
I'm in the medical profession, but
wow,
there's only like 50 acute care beds.
Mm.
How are we going to accommodate if they develop, you know, the 700 whatever homes when we can't even accommodate? We can accommodate, from what I understand, clinic-wise, but I was sick with pneumonia. I couldn't get in to see my doctor for 10 days.
Huh.
Wow.
That's
an issue that we have to look at.
Yeah.
Yes, but we're not the people to ask. You should be talking to people at Wilcox.
But that this is
it is an important.
Well, that's,
yes,
that's,
it
that's
is important.
Like, but what we need to look at also is that we need a larger medical facility to take care of the people that are going to come in with all this.
We understand. Yes.
So this is Felicia. Do you know how to get a hold of me? Is this sounds more appropriate for a different show?
It is for
Kauai Soapbox, but that's a show that I would love to do because that's a fresh topic
mm-hmm.
that's very important. And when we're seeing funding to the state hospitals being closed and shut down to the point where we're shutting down those hospitals, it really is about all
is.
Of us here on. It's really, this is an issue for every
right.
everyone, including the sovereign issue. And so that's It's actually very, very important. Do you know how to get a hold of me?
No, I don't.
Do you have a pen?
Yep.
652.
I always have a pen and paper next to me.
Good. 4363. And let's research that. I'll try and get, you know, the people from the hospital on here. Mm-hmm. And we'll do a really good exploration of it, because that's a very big deal. Last time I've run into a problem, it's been a few years. I just hardly ever go to the doctor, but I did try and get an appointment for a pregnant girl. It was 4 months out to get her first OB appointment. I was like,
gosh.
I couldn't believe that.
That's unacceptable. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
I mean, I was able to...
I worked labor and delivery for 37 years. That's unacceptable.
I was able to make stink enough that I... But, you know, if you don't have an auntie who's going to push and force and fight for you, it can be a problem. You know, that 4 months is a long time.
Correct.
If you're pregnant.
Correct. And that's the first 4 months is where you feel anything that might be a problem after the baby's born.
Thank you.
We'll get into this again, Felicia. I'll call you.
Yes, please do.
And we can make a show of this.
Yes,
plenty of people that are concerned.
Yes. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Living Sovereign with Auntie Nani Rogers, and I am Felicia, standing in as the engineer.
Yes, mahalo. getting back to the statewide water commission meeting, I would like to announce to our other islands, too, about this meeting, because I'm sure we have listeners maybe on Oahu, Maui, and Hilo. But every meeting is going to start from 6:30 to 8:30, and ours is March 19th at the Planning Commission room. Now, on Oahu, it's March 3rd, which is today or tomorrow? Tomorrow, in the DLNR boardroom meeting.
Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Yeah. And Maui, it's on March 12th at Wailuku Community Center. In Hilo, it'll be on March 30th, Aupuni Center, Pauahi Street, Suite 1. So this, again, is the Water Commission meeting seeking community input for updating their statewide water resource protection plan.
So this is pretty much surface water, right?
And
it's statewide.
Yeah. I didn't even know they had a protection plan. We better go look it up.
Yeah, one thing that works out really well is to make that little bit of effort to go in, inform before you go in. And I was speaking with somebody going tomorrow to Oahu, and it's almost a full-time job, unpaid, expensive full-time job.
To
be informed.
Research.
To be informed. Mm-hmm. So anybody who can just treat it like a part-time job helps those people who are doing it all the time.
Yes.
And it's so essential, because the people who are more on the side to take those resources rather than to protect the resources for everyone and the future, those people are paid and their ticket is bought.
Oh.
So it's a little bit of an imbalance.
I see.
Richard in here for Sunset Jazz.
Yay! Just one more announcement. And this is about our next Aupua Council of Punamoku. It'll be every second Sunday of the month, folks. So our next meeting is scheduled for March 8th, 2015, and it will always be held at the Kapa'a Library and starts at 5 p.m. All people are invited that want to learn more about Ahupua'a resource management and self-governance are welcome. So we have a few minutes left.
Yes, if anybody would like to call in at 826-7771. There's been, you know, a whole lot of really positive things happening, too. And let's really applaud all the people who have been coming out and working together on these efforts.
I'm very proud of our whole island, people on our island. They're very wide awake. They're very maka'ala.
And did you catch the opening last night at Nako Bear when he came out and he was speaking, and they were saying how important it was to come to Kauai, because it's like recharging their batteries.
Yeah.
You know, it's
our people.
Our people, you know, just really, yeah. You know, that they're excited when they come here because he used the word inspiration. You know, we help to inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's working well here.
So hula hula, cheers to our people of Kauai for their diligence, for their integrity, for their awareness, and for their actions. You know, we can talk about this, but without actions, it's for naught. So come join us. Aupua Councils, we're going to be one action council this time. And on top of the list, of course, is water management. Because without our water, we're all dead. All living things on this planet cannot live without water for more than 3 days.
And I want to give a shout out to KKCR and even Richard, as I'm seeing him
here.
He helped make this place happen, and it is so important. What comes out of this station and all the different types of mana'o from different people, community radio, coming straight from the heart, unscripted.
It's awesome. It is awesome. Working. Please keep tuned to KKCR every chance you get. You'll be receiving some very interesting information, and the music is great, too.
Yeah, so it's www.kkcr.org, streaming worldwide, and the office number is 808-826-7774. If there's an issue that you would like to see brought up or you have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Living Sovereign is really looking particularly at what helps our Kanaka Mo'oli and our Hawaiian people and holding our culture.
Managing our lands and water and everything else. Are we done?
We are just about done. We're going to close back with our song when you're ready.
Okay. So, aloha again, everyone. Mahalo for listening. Please join us again. We'll be back on April 6th. Same time, same station. Ma'alama pono, aloha ke kahi I ke kahi, which means love one another. But don't forget to love yourself too. Aloha ke akua, mahalo ke akua, ahui ho.
Mahalo.
Oh.